Everybody, thank you so much for being with us. I want to say a particular thank you to all of you that have been giving to support the ministry of Mandarin Presbyterian Church. We are so grateful for that. Our giving has stayed pretty strong during this season, and which is great. We've been receiving about 80% or so of what we normally give when we have in-person services. So that's like really been miraculous and a blessing for us to see how many people have just been able to just, you know, find ways to give, and we're so grateful for that, even in tough economic times. We've also found ways to cut spending as well, to try to bring those things in balance, and grateful for the small business loan, which turns into a grant, and all of that puts us in a pretty good position. And so we're just so thankful for all of you that have been giving and are making this ministry possible. So thank you for that. I want to turn our attention to a place that's near and dear to my heart, and that maybe you've seen the news today. In the news, pretty much everything is about the coronavirus, which, you know, this pandemic which has swept our world. But maybe through the noise of that, you've also heard of another tragedy in the world, which is the super cyclone Amphin, which is basically a hurricane in another part of the world. That was in the categorized as the strongest possible the category of cyclone, or we would say here hurricane, which had a direct hit on the city of Calcutta. They're called Kolkata, India, and also in Bangladesh. Millions of people were evacuated, which was complicated by the coronavirus and the need. The area had been on lockdown, a much stricter lockdown to protect from coronavirus than what we experience here. And they'd been in that for 2 months, seeking to keep social distance, seeking to protect really vulnerable populations, really impoverished populations from having coronavirus sweep through. And in the context of that, this hurricane or cyclone hit. Millions of people had to be evacuated on a short notice, and then trying to figure out how to keep safe from both coronavirus and the hurricane at the same time has been quite challenging. In particular, in the city of Calcutta, there is a ministry that our church is supporting and praying for. A friend of mine that I've been an admirer of her for a long time, named Smita Singh. Some of you saw that I interviewed her on Coffee Talk a few weeks ago, and then we showed a clip from that in our worship service. This is a ministry that we want to support as a church, a ministry that cares for the victims of child trafficking in Calcutta in commercial sexual exploitation. This is one of the great injustices of our world, and so now we have children who have suffered unimaginable terrors in their past, rescued from that, sheltering from coronavirus, and then the hurricane hits. And Smita was messaging with me and putting out messages on Facebook while it was happening, and just massive storm hit, flooding, and it knocked down the boy's home, just completely destroyed. That's going to have to be completely torn down, rebuilt, and damaged many of the girls' homes. So she's asked us for prayer, and I just want to use our pastoral prayer time specifically to pray for that ministry. It's called Mahima Care Homes in Kolkata, India. So I want us to pray for that, and if you'll join me, sometimes it's good for us, even though we have so many prayer concerns on our own, sometimes it's good for us to look outside to places maybe that are having it even more difficult than us, and so I hope you'll join me as we pray for Mahima Care Homes in Kolkata, India, and for everyone affected by this cyclone. Lord God, we just ask your blessing. Lord, we as a church want to just be together. Though we can't be in person, we gather together our hearts. Lord, we're one in spirit as we ask your help for the people of Kolkata, for the people of West Bengal, for the people of Bangladesh, Lord. Lord, for all the millions that had to run from this storm and just find what shelter they could find. Lord, we pray against any spread of the coronavirus there. Lord God, we pray that the flooding would recede. Lord, we pray that food distribution would meet the need. Lord God, we pray that as these millions return to their homes, they would have homes to return to. We pray that you would provide resources for this massive rebuild, Lord. Lord, we know that this hit some areas which are just feel like endless slums. Lord, we pray that somehow you would show your grace and your mercy, your power, as you build a life for them. We think specifically of our friend Smita and the Mahama Care Homes. Lord, they are people who have faced trauma multiple times before, and you have seen them through. We pray, Lord God, that you would provide safe shelter for all the children, all the staff of Mahama Care Homes. Lord, we pray that you would provide all the resources for them to be able to rebuild. We pray that you would give them hope. Lord, we pray specifically for the administrator of the boys' home that was destroyed in this storm, Sukumar. Lord, we pray against the trauma that he experienced in the home that he has responsibility for as he watched it get ripped apart. Lord, carry him through and give him encouragement, as well as Smita and the entire team to persevere. Lord, we pray that in no time at all, these children would be gathered back together under a safe roof and experiencing the saving, protective love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you, as I have posted about this on Facebook, have asked if there's any way that you can help. I thank you for your prayers. This was what I was asked for us. But if some of you would like to join in also contributing funds, join my wife and I, join several friends that have committed to it, join the church, all chipping in, we are going to be sending a disaster relief check to them to help them through this season of transition, and then also for the rebuilding, particularly of that children's home that has been knocked down. And so if that is on your heart, we would invite you to give. The way that you can do that is you can make out a check or by any way that you can give online, any way that you want to give to the church in which you can get a tax-deductible receipt. The key for it to go to this relief is just in the memo line somehow indicate the word India. And everything that comes in designated India, we are going to send on to care for this Mahama Care Homes and help them rebuild. And in that way, we'll be able to just stand with them, both in prayer, you know, and in giving, so they know they are not alone in this world. And Smita, I know that you're out there watching as you've been following our services. Smita, we love you. We love your staff. We love the kids, and you're not alone. We are with you. So we send our blessings. We bless you from here. I want to invite out Jen. Jen, you are going to bring the word and tell us about blessing. Welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning again, everyone. Today we are concluding this sermon series that we have been working on the last few weeks called Psalms for Now. And we've been looking at a lot of different psalms, both on Sunday morning and also during the week through the study guide that Chris and Jessica put together that you all hopefully received. We've had our families at the beginning of each worship service sharing psalms from their homes. And we've seen in the series that there are many different types of psalms. We've looked at psalms of remembrance. We've looked at psalms of wisdom, psalms of confession. And this morning we're going to look at Psalm 20, which is a psalm of blessing. When Jeff and I first came to MPC, our oldest daughter was 5 years old, and our now middle daughter was one. And we were so excited to be here. I was thrilled to really have my dream job as a family minister in a church. And one of the first things that I did was start a program, a parenting program called Stepping Stones. And we did this for several years. And it was a series of parenting classes at milestone moments from birth through high school graduation, where we would pull together on these milestone years or stepping stone years, parents and sometimes families. And at each one, we would teach a different faith practice, and one would build on the next, which was this idea of stepping stones. And we talked about, as families, how to read the Bible together, how to pray together, how to learn to say, I'm sorry. And right out of the gate, the very first faith practice that we taught to parents was a blessing. We taught parents how to bless their infants, their babies, every night as they went to sleep, how to say a blessing over them. And this word blessing is one that we say a lot, and we say it in a lot of different ways. It means a lot of different things. We'll say, you know, bless you after someone sneezes, and there's not really a lot of meaning or thought behind it. It's just a response or reaction that we have. If we're having dinner, we might say, okay, we're going to bow our heads to say the blessing. Or we may ask God, would you come bless this food that we're about to eat? Sometimes we use it in this sneaky way where we'll say, oh, bless his little heart. And that's a way where we're just subtly trying to insult someone without just calling them an idiot to their face. A few months ago, our high school director, Brandon, went and asked for the blessing of Tiffany's parents before he asked her to marry him. And we also use blessing in the sense of talking about God's blessings. We'll talk about God's blessings when we're grateful for the goodness in our lives. And we'll talk about sharing our blessings with others when we think of ways to give out of what we have been given. And a week ago, when Matt was preaching, he was looking at a psalm and talking about the kind of blessings that God gives us, the blessings of forgiveness and the blessings of God's grace. So we have all these different uses of the word blessing, but the kind of blessing that we're going to look at today in Psalm 20 is different from all of those. And so as we come to our scripture and as we read this together, I really want you to pay attention and see if you can pick up on what makes this psalm different than the other kinds of blessings that we just talked about. So let's look and read Psalm 20 together. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. So I'm guessing that most of us, when we hear or talk about saying a blessing or giving a blessing to someone, I'm guessing that most of us think about that as a prayer that's directed to God, something that's directed to God. But what we see here in Psalm 20 is a different kind of prayer. It's still a prayer, but it's not directed to God. It's directed to a person, another human. And so the direction of the prayer is different. I picture it a little bit like you're holding out your hand towards a person that you're going to bless. You're turned towards them, and you have one hand out and one hand up. And you're saying to this person the way that you want God to bless them, the things you want to proclaim and have God do in their lives. At the same time, you know that only those things can happen with the power of God, that you need God to come and to have that blessing take place. And so I picture that one hand out and one hand up to God. This kind of blessing is what we taught parents to do in that class. And it started as an infant with infant parents of infants, but we taught it in all the different places. So it's never too late. If your children are older, even in high school, you can start giving them a blessing. And we had some parents of older kids, teenagers, do this and say, okay, it was a little bit awkward at first, but once I explained it, my students really thought it was something that was meaningful. I had this week a parent that took that class. Her children were probably 6 or 7 years old at the time, and now they're 17. They're going to be seniors in high school, and she says a blessing to them, those same words, every single night before they go to bed. And so what we taught them to do is to take their finger, the parents would take their finger, and they would trace the shape of a cross onto their child's head because touch can be a very meaningful part of blessing. And as they traced that cross, they chose words that they would say, and we gave several different suggestions. The one that we use with our girls at our house is to draw the cross and say, you are precious to God, and you are precious to me. Another one would be to say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. And another example would be to say, may God be with you and keep you safe through the night. So there's different words you can use, but the prayer, the blessing, is directed to the child. But you're saying the things you want them to know and experience from God. And so God is there and God is present, and you are praying these things over the person that's receiving that blessing. Psalm 20 is an example of this kind of blessing. It's directed towards someone else. Psalm 20 is actually directed towards a king. And so it's people that are speaking this blessing over their king. The psalm is attributed to David, but there are scholars that think that this happened actually after David's life, so sometime past that event. But either way, it's directed towards one of the kings of Israel, and the king is about to go into battle. And so it was very common at the time for kings to go out to the temple and to seek divine intervention before they were going to go into a military engagement. And so the king is getting ready for battle, and the people, or maybe the troops that are around him, are giving him this blessing, saying these words, praying this blessing over him, because they know that their success is tied directly to God. That they will only be successful, they'll only be victorious, they'll only prosper with God's help. And so they're praying these words, they're saying these words over their king. And in the psalm, every line starts the very beginning, starts with the word may. And it says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May he send you help. May he remember all your sacrifices. So again, they're asking these things, they're knowing that victory, that success is tied with God. And then you might find it interesting that in verse 4, it says, may he give you the desire of your heart, and may all your plans succeed. May he give you the desires of your heart. If we say that today to someone, I hope you have all the desires of your heart. I think it means something a little bit different. This wasn't a prayer that God would give their king everything he ever dreamed of, a vacation home, a great backyard, a boat, a great family. That isn't the kind of prayer it was. One of the very biggest responsibilities of the king of Israel was to seek God and to lead the people in the will of God. And so there is this assumption on the part of the people that the king's desires are God's desires, that as the king aligns himself with God's will, his heart would be for the will of God. And so as they pray, God, give the king what his heart desires, they're saying, God, make happen what you will and desire for his life. And so these first four or five verses start, may God, may God, may God. And then the psalm makes a shift. It shifts, and it turns into a section that's declaring God's support and declaring their trust in God. And so we have these verses. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. When I was in college, I did a student ministry internship, and one of the things that we had to do was create our own goals for the year. And so I had heard that one of the things that you should do as a Christian is memorize lots of scripture, and I had not done that a lot in my life, so I thought, I'm going to put down for one of my goals that I'm going to memorize scripture. And I found a list of verses that were, things that every person should know and memorize. And so we started out, the very first verse came from this psalm. It was that line, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I wish I could tell you that I was really successful at memorizing things. I wasn't, but I got that first verse down. And when we talk about it and think about it in its context, chariots and horses were the best form of warfare. It was modern warfare of that time. There was no other resource that was greater to have in battle. And so chariots and horses were able to go into crowds and break apart groups so that ground troops could come behind and they could defeat their enemies. And so the people are acknowledging, some people put their trust in these things, that we have the best, that we have the greatest resources available to us, that that's what's going to guarantee our win. But they say, we know that those things can fail. We know that horses can die and chariots can break. We know the only thing that does not fail is the Lord our God, and that's where we're going to put our trust. I think that is such a great verse and a great word for us today in 2020, as we too have found that some of the things that we have put our trust in are things that have failed. You know, we make some assumptions that we can always have the products and the items that we want whenever we go to Publix, that the supply chain is always going to be available to us. We put our trust in having medical resources available to us and in scientific research and advances in technology. We put our trust sometimes in our job security or that schools will always be open and available to us. And we have learned this year that some of those things that we trusted to be there really aren't as firm, as solid as we may have believed. And so we too need to hold those things more loosely so that we can grip on tightly and trust in the Lord our God. So we have in the psalm these declarations of belief, these declarations of trusting God. And then at the very end, there's just one short single line that asks, God, may all of this be true. There's one last line that is directed to God. So Israelites are facing a battle, and they're speaking this blessing to their king. They're speaking this blessing over their king. This kind of blessing can be found in different places in Scripture. One of the blessings that you may be more familiar with is one that's found in the book of Numbers. It's the blessing that Aaron spoke over the people of God. Sometimes you may hear this as a benediction, maybe in a worship service. And Aaron is given these words by God to speak over God's people. And he says to them, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Again, this is a blessing that's not directed to God, but directed, spoken over a person or a group of people. One of the great theologians of our day is Dallas Willard. He passed away just a few years ago. And one of the things that he said about blessing describes what this is, and I want to read this to you. Dallas Willard says, "Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. It isn't just words. It's the actual putting forth of your will for the good of another person. It always involves God, because when you will the good of another person, you realize that only God is capable of bringing that." So a blessing is something that's very personal. It's something that you picture turning and facing someone to give, that you are turning and facing someone, you're looking into their eyes, your presence is with them, facing them. It's like you are taking something that is in your heart and trying to reach out and put that into someone else's heart, something that is in your soul that will reach out and touch the soul of someone else. You're speaking your greatest desires for good for someone else, that God would do those things, and God would do those things in their lives. It's this kind of being present, this kind of willing of the soul that we can experience sometimes as parents with our kids. When our oldest daughter was in about the third grade, she decided that she wanted to try to play softball. And she wasn't someone who wanted to go around and do like lots and lots of things. So we were really excited that she had this interest, and we wanted to do everything we could to support her in it. But the thing was that by the time she was in third grade, everyone that played softball had been playing softball together for years. So all the teams were made up of people that had been doing this for a long time. And I think that one of the blessings we found is that she really was put on a team of girls that were so, so kind to her as she began to learn this game. The whole season that she played, she never hit the ball once. We were talking about this yesterday and kind of laughing about it, and she said, and she did give me permission to tell this story, but she said, you know, I did make it to first base because I remember once I got hit by the ball, and then I got to walk to first base. So she may have gotten hit by the ball, but she never actually hit the ball. But during that season, every time she would get up to bat, everything would stop. Whether we were in a conversation with someone or looking at someone on something on our phone or looking at something else that was happening, all of that was put aside so that we could be fully focused. We would be watching, leaning in, willing everything inside us for her to get a hit, for her to find success. And so we would be right there with her as much as we possibly could be, and we'd watch the ball coming, and you'd just will it. Please let her hit. Please let her hit. Please let her hit. And then the ball would come, and you'd be like, oh, it's okay. We'll try again. We'll try again next time. And it's this sense of just leaning in and willing what you want for someone else to happen, this being with someone. That's the posture of this kind of blessing given to somebody else. The words of blessing aren't words that should just be casually thrown out. They're words that should involve some thought and some care, because it is your heart reaching out to somebody else. It's not something I think that we experience all that much, maybe outside of worship. It's a benediction that we give at the end of the service, and so we experience that kind of blessing. But outside the walls of the church, we don't often experience this in other ways. This week at our session meeting, we were talking about this kind of blessing, and one of our session members shared that it was something that she has experienced as she has faced medical challenges. And so I asked my friend Kim Harris to share some of her story with you this morning, some ways that she has experienced this kind of blessing in her own life. So here is Kim sharing her story from her home.
Hi, MPC family. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Kim Harris. My husband Johnny and I have been members of MPC since 2003, and we have two boys, Elijah and Luke. I wanted to take a few moments this morning to share a few blessings I have experienced and have been quite meaningful and very powerful in my life. In 2009, I had been in the hospital, and one of the members of MPC at that time had emailed me a blessing, a direct blessing for Johnny to pray over me with specific instructions to look directly into my eyes, saying the following: Kim, I speak into your spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, that your spirit, Kim, would be blessed right this very moment. I pray now that your spirit would take authority over your soul and your body and for them both to align under your personal spirit. I speak directly to your spirit to awaken and bring your body into healing and wholeness. I bless you, Spirit, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Johnny prayed this daily for me in the same way, looking directly into my eyes every day until I was home from the hospital. And some of you know, last September, I started treatment for my recent diagnosis of MS. One of my prayer warriors on that specific day of my first infusion text messaged me the minute my medication started to get infused, and it said, "May the peace of God reign in the infusion center, and the love of God hold you tight. May the Spirit of God flow through you, and the joy of God sustain you." And lastly, my husband Johnny always says Numbers 6, 24 through 26 over myself and the boys. We all keep our eyes open for this blessing. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And these are really just a very few examples of some very moving blessings in my life. They bring me comfort and, even more importantly, remind me of what God can do and what he does do through his word in us. It's so powerful to be blessed and prayed in a blessing, affirming God's word and the Spirit's work in and through us. So go give a blessing today.
I wonder if you have ever received a blessing like this from someone else. And I wonder if you have ever given a blessing like this to someone else in your life. When we give this kind of blessing to others, we are being reminded of God's presence and God's power in our lives. We're being reminded that God is faithful. In these words, we're declaring who God is and what we want God to be doing in the life of someone else. And there aren't any magical words to this. You can use your own words, or if you're uncomfortable with that, or it seems daunting, you're just not sure quite what words to use, you can use words that are found in Scripture, words that we read today. You could say to someone, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. You can take words from Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in distress and send you help. Or you can simply look at someone and say, may God be with you and may God protect you and keep you through the night. About a month ago, I heard a new worship song that just came out called The Blessing. And it came out just at the beginning of March. And it's another way that you could offer a blessing to someone. You can find this song on YouTube. You could send a link to it to someone in your life this week. And you could just simply say, this is my prayer for you. And so what I'd like to do now is to have our worship team sing this song, The Blessing. And I'd like for you to turn and to receive these words. Receive these words this morning as a blessing to you. Thank you.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you.
Friends, may God's presence go before you and behind you and beside you, be around you and be in you. God is with you and God is for you. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Matt to come out and join us, and